Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be here. It is Easter Sunday morning, so happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Wait. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
There we go. We're so excited to be in worship. This is the day that defines who we are as believers in Christ, the resurrected one. And as we get started in worship, a few announcements we'd like to make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, if you choose, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you are finished, please send it back to where it got started. And then the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for helping us with that this morning. Several things are listed there on the back of your bulletin, calendar events. Just make note of those things. We are having children's time today, so invite the kids to come down for just a few moments after the first hymn. Also, there is a business conference, church business conference, this Wednesday, and we hope that you'll be able to be a part of that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're very blessed by your presence. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They want to give something to you. If you are a guest, thank you for the information you put on the pew pad. Just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to recognize you as they come back down the aisle. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Easter. There is no other day like it. The day that we celebrate our risen Lord. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for the glory that is Easter Sunday. The day that we remember that Jesus is not dead, but is alive. And when we know that, it gives us purpose and meaning and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Salvation. It gives us courage. Thank you for Jesus and the gift of eternal love. An eternal life with you. Father, as we come into this place, it would be nothing without your presence. Be among us. Speak to us, we pray. Remind us of the truth that Jesus is alive. And for that we say thank you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Ministry of God's Word comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. John 20, verses 1 through 8. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. I invite you to turn in your bulletin to our responsive call to worship. I invite you to read the dark print aloud and enthusiastically as I read the light print. Hear our call to worship. This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen. This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. Once we were no people, now we are God's people.
Hallelujah.
Christ is our peace, the indestructible peace we now share with each other.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We'll invite all the kids. Come on down. I have candy. Come on down. I will wait for you. We will wait for you. It's good to see everybody. Oh, now they're coming. I said candy. Now they're coming. If you're a kid and you don't come, you won't get as much candy, okay? Yeah, you probably will. Okay. Come on. I have something in my hand. Does anybody know what this is? Oh, it is a water fan. Does anybody like the water? I'm not going to do the water. I wouldn't do that to you. I don't want to get in trouble with moms and dads with your hair being just right. You want a mist?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. We got a mist. All right. Oh, can y'all feel it? I'm not mist. I'm not going to mist. If you want a mist, do the water. Oh, there you go. Oh, there we go. All right. So, okay, I'm not going to let y'all have this, but I'm going. Here's another one. This is a good one. Oh, this one keeps me cool at youth camp right here. Yeah, it's battery operated. Oh,
it's just a fan.
It's just a fan. But what is it blowing?
Wind.
How? You can't see it. Oh, I got something. Hold on. Just you wait. Oh, yeah. All right. How about this one? Is this one pretty good? Yeah. Oh, this one's good. I got it so I can bring it out to you so you can feel it. You feel it. And it's quiet. Oh, does that feel good? Do y'all feel it back there? Oh, they're about to go to sleep. Now, but what? You can't see anything, right?
It's clear.
It's clear. It goes so fast. You just can't. But it's, how do you not, what's hitting you? Air. But you can't see that air.
Because it's clear.
We just can't see it, right? That's kind of strange, but we have those winds that come up. The same thing is true about Easter Sunday. They went into the tomb. Did they see Jesus? No. Did anybody in this room, have we seen Jesus? But we have seen evidence. You felt the wind, right? You felt the air coming from the fan. You see all these people that are in this room? And millions of people for over 2,000 years said Jesus is alive. That is the evidence. He appeared just to people around after he was resurrected. He went and saw people. And those people told other people. And those people told other people. And then those people told these people. And these people are telling you people. Jesus is alive. I know it. Just as I feel the air and the wind on my face because of the people that have told us that they saw he was alive. That's why he wasn't any on the cross anymore. He is alive. That's why we celebrate Easter. I am thankful for you because I see God in you. I am thankful for these people because they believe so strongly that Jesus is alive that they tell you. And they tell their neighbors. And their friends. And it's up to us to be just like that fan. We're going to go tell other people. Jesus is alive. Will you pray with me? God, we know that Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Jesus appeared to so after. And those people told other people. And those people told other people. Eventually to get to us. What great news. May we tell other people how much Jesus loves us and that Jesus is alive. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you come see me after, I will have candy. All right? You can go back to your seats now.
Ministry of God's Word this morning comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses who God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Would you pray with me, please? God, today we pause. We pause to reflect on what it truly means to defeat death. Father, we don't really understand that gift that you gave, to give up your son for that purpose. But we're so grateful, Father. We thank you for the ability that we have to have life here on this earth, but also life everlasting, eternal life with you. Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, this week we've experienced loss. We've had some gains. Father, we've had some struggles. We've had some hard times. Lord, but you've been the God in all of our circumstances, and you're going to continue to be our God. We just have to keep relying and trusting on you. Father, this week, you've called us to be an Easter people, to go out to share your word, to share your story, to share your love. Father, give us an opportunity this week to share what Easter really means for us and what it can mean for somebody else who doesn't have a relationship with you. Father, help us this week to really be Easter people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Y'all have a seat. If you were here last Sunday, you saw the kids coming down the aisle waving palm branches. It was a very festive occasion. It was Palm Sunday. Today is a very festive Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, there is a whole lot of history that happened in that week. And we've got to make sure we know that history and we understand it. During that week, Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. He told them about a new covenant. He was denied. He was tried. He was tortured. He was beaten and hung on a cross to die. This is the day we celebrate, that day that we look in and see an empty tomb. That is our basis for believing. That is our basis for our faith, for what we believe in. We believe in an empty tomb. We believe in God, our Savior, sent his Son to live with us, to minister to us, and to die for us. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your house today, because every day we gather together, we celebrate an empty tomb. We celebrate all the prophets, the prophecy, everything that has come true did come true. We serve an empty tomb. We serve a risen Savior. And that is our faith. Lord, thank you for sacrificing your Son for us, that we can live today and that we have the grace to know that we will live with you when we pass along to the other side. Lord, go with us at this time of our service where we give a portion of what we own to you, even though it's a pittance of what we really truly owe you. Lord, thank you for this church, our staff. Lord, thank you for everything you do for us. And thank you for all the blessings you have given to us. For it's in thy blessed name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
might have seen me carry this bottle of water up here. It's not a prop. It's actually maybe necessary to help me get through this hour-long sermon. Because some of you I haven't seen since Christmas, and so you're going to get it all today. I tell you, I was teasing in the 9 o'clock service, asking if they knew what heaven on earth is. Heaven on earth is a marriage where you have one extreme extrovert and one extreme introvert, and the extrovert loses his voice. It's heaven on earth for the introvert. There you go. Apply that as you will. This Easter Sunday, how many ways can you preach it? Bottom line, how many ways can you really preach it? Yeah. Could take a while. Luke chapter 24, I've preached several times in here because it comes around in the lectionary reading. And it's appropriate on Easter Sunday for this passage. I really like Luke. If I went back this week and was reading in Dr. Talbert's book, Perspective on Luke Acts, and also his book entitled Reading Luke, I read some stuff from Pastor Michael Dutch and also the Interpreter's Bible, just trying to get a handle on anything that we may have missed over the years as we read this account of the resurrection from Luke chapter 24. And as I did that, I thought, well, you know, first way place to start is to read it. So that's where we're going to start today. Luke chapter 24, we're going to read the first 12 verses. I invite you to follow along. If you didn't bring your Bible, there should be one there close by in the pew. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces on the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the prophets, to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, our boy Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. What happened? Let me give you a riddle. Listen carefully. It's one of those lateral thinking things. Anthony and Cleopatra are lying dead on the floor of a villa in Egypt. The window is open. There's water and glass all over the floor. There's no marks on either Anthony or Cleopatra. They were not poisoned. But how did they die? I'll give you another one. A man rode into town on Friday. He stayed for 3 nights and then he left again on Friday. How is that possible? Horse's name Friday. Good. All right. Third one. Mr. Black asks for tea and gets $5,000. Then he asks for eyes, but Mrs. White can't give him any. What's going on? Do you not know, or are you just afraid to say something aloud in church? Mr. Black is a contestant on Wheel of Fortune. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you like those kind of mind games? Have you ever heard any of those? Like I said, they call it lateral thinking. You know, and some of you may be sitting there thinking, boy, I work on those things for hours. Others of you are sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? Who in the world wastes good time dreaming up these things? And then when you hear the answers, you go, seriously? I mean, that's it? That's all. So you don't spend the rest of the sermon trying to figure out the first riddle. Would it help you to know that Anthony and Cleopatra are fish? Okay, you can put all of it together now. I said, now that you've got the hang of it, let's try one more. On Friday night, a man dies. He's buried the same night. On Sunday morning, his friends arrive at the grave only to discover that his body is gone. What happened? You see, one of the problems with Jesus' resurrection is that some people try to make sense out of everything that happened. They try to understand cognitively exactly how Jesus could die and then come back to life again. Well, let me tell you something. So listen carefully. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You can try to figure it out with your mind, but it just doesn't make sense. So if you think about the whole Easter deal from a rational, logical, analytical perspective, it will be very frustrating for you. Now, make no mistake, there is ample evidence for the fact that it did happen. Jesus was resurrected from the grave, but how it happened, that's a God thing. Because it doesn't make any sense that a man could be dead for 3 days, which, by the way, that number three is significant here. Because in first century world and preceding, three meant completeness. Okay? That's the reason he lay dead for 3 days and rose on the third. Because the people there knew if he's been there 3 days, he's dead. 2 days, 1 day, 3 days, he's dead. He was resurrected on the third day and he came back to life and you go, well, I don't really fully understand that. It doesn't make sense from an empirical point of view. I love what Luke says in verse 11. Look at that again. Verse 11 on this thing, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They just didn't make sense, so they didn't believe them. But let me ask you this, how much of life really makes sense? Have you watched the news lately? It just doesn't make sense. We live in a crazy world, but yet it's real. Real life is taking place even though we may not be able to make sense out of it. Which begs the question, why are we so enamored with reality television? You know those things aren't real, don't you? Don't you know that? If you don't, we need to talk afterwards. You need to come by and see me this week. Reality TV is anything but real. All right, but why do we watch that stuff? Is it because we are so disillusioned or disappointed with our own life that we want to watch other people's misery and think, well, I guess I'm pretty good after all. Or I guess I'm not so crazy after all. Why do we watch this stuff? We have so many questions about life and sometimes not a lot of answers. But yet there is one answer that I do have for you. And that is the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, it can be easy to believe who Jesus is if we could just see him, right? If we could just see him. But you know, with the disciples, Thomas did not believe until he saw, until he touched. So we can understand. We can understand because that's also the case now. We weren't there, so then how can we prove that there was a resurrection? How can we prove it? I can't literally prove it to you. I'm sorry. I cannot literally prove to you that Jesus rose from the dead. I present to you the evidence that we do have. Now, last week, I told you about this little book, The Case for Easter. A bunch of those are gone. I mean, a bunch of them are gone. So I hope that you're getting them into the hands of the people that can really use them because most of them are gone, if not all of them by now. So that's great. But that is a condensation of this little book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Some great apologetics in this book. It's a good read. He also has a book entitled The Case for Real Jesus. Again, great stuff, good reading. And then if you want to go for the Mac Daddy, this is Josh McDowell's The New Evidence. It has Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Volumes 1 and 2, updated. Some real light reading. You'll enjoy that. But there is plenty of evidence. There is plenty of evidence that the resurrection did happen. There is evidence for it. But if the only way that you will believe in Jesus is to see the physical evidence of the resurrection, then you're going to be disappointed because I can't give that to you, nor can anyone else. Charles Colson, y'all know that name? Charles Colson, former counsel to Tricky Dicky, President Nixon. Y'all remember this guy? He was a convicted conspirator in the Watergate scandal, and he wrote that the Watergate cover-up was the final straw in convincing him that Jesus was raised from the dead. Put that together. He said the Watergate cover-up was the final straw that convinced him that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Here's what he wrote. I'll read it directly. It's a direct quote. "There were only 8 or 9 of us in the inner circle around the president who really knew what was going on. All we had to do was stonewall for a couple of months. Watergate scandal would be over. We had all the power and the prestige of the presidency at our fingertips. And if the truth broke, there would be embarrassment and perhaps a prison sentence. There was no grave danger. Our lives were not threatened. But we could not hold the conspiracy together for even 3 weeks. We could not contain the lie. Once prosecution was possible, the natural instinct of self-preservation was so overwhelming that one by one the conspirators caved in and stood in line in the prosecutor's office to escape jail." Colson concludes, "I know that the disciples could not perpetuate a lie like the resurrection because it was not just their reputations that were at stake. Their lives were in danger. They had no clout. They had nothing to gain by the lie. And yet every one of them stood fast in the conviction that Jesus was alive." Take it from one who saw firsthand how vulnerable a cover-up is. Nothing less than a witness as awesome as the resurrected Christ could have caused those men to maintain their dying whispers that Jesus is alive and that he is Lord. Each apostle, except for John, died a martyr's death. They died rather than recant their belief in the resurrection. Friends, I don't believe that these Galilean men would have died for a lie. Especially when you see, you remember what was happening at the trial and the crucifixion? These guys were running like scared children. I mean, they scattered. They absolutely scattered. But yet they were willing to die before recanting the truth of the resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Would you die for a lie? You can respond. It's okay. Would you die for a lie? I wouldn't. I'd die for any of you to save you, but I wouldn't die for a lie. You know, history has shown us that people will give their lives for what they believe is true, but not for what they know is false. So when it comes to believing the resurrection of Jesus, we cannot simply seek knowledge. Instead, we have to seek faith. Nobody comes to faith in Jesus simply because of knowledge of him. Even Satan has knowledge of him. So what does it take? It's a matter of the heart. Our heart pulled into relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. You see, it comes from the heart. The heart is the source of all that we long for. It is the place where we make some of our greatest decisions. Our heart will lead us to Jesus. if we're willing to let down the walls that we've put up in order to protect ourselves, God will draw us to it. In Ezekiel, an Old Testament prophet, God said in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. You see, our hearts matter to God. It is the source of all life. That is why we look to God with our hearts. So this Easter Sunday, allow this to happen in your life. This applies to everyone, okay? Whether you've known Jesus for the past 50 years or you're still searching for what kind of relationship you want to have with this Son of God. Without God's presence, we will certainly be lost. Without His presence, we will certainly be lost. And the tragedy is that God desires that no one perish. Scripture tells us that. He desires that no one perish. That's why He sent His only Son. His only Son to die for us, to eliminate the penalty of death of our sin. That is the love, that is the grace, that is the power of God at work that we celebrate today. That is the joy of the resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. The fear and the bonds of death have been crushed forever. Understand that. We understand that this life is not all there is it? This is not it, is it? No. This is mortality. This is just a small portion of life. And in Christ, as believers in Christ, we have eternity in heaven waiting for us. I couldn't help but think about my buddy John Crabb this morning. First Easter in heaven. I wonder what it's like up there on Easter. I would suspect it's like every other day, isn't it? Every other day, because Scripture tells us there's rejoicing. There's worship. May our lives live out that kind of hope. May we be Easter people every day so that we celebrate the risen Christ by what we say and what we do. Because people, there is no sting to death for a believer. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, for our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. And when this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last, scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? It's gone. The great news of Easter is that death has been swallowed up in victory by God forever. Embrace the risen Christ. Celebrate the new life that He offers to you so that you have the promise of eternal life with Him beginning today. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You. We celebrate. We praise You. God, we love You. And we thank You for all that You've done for us. Father, we thank You most for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. Words cannot express what that kind of gift is like. Father, may our hearts know You personally. May our lives live out the reality of that relationship. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you would like to respond to the invitation this morning, it could be any number of responses. If you're a believer, you may want to respond in a way that puts your life back on track, living as an Easter person every day. If you're not a believer, I can't think of a better day to receive Christ than on Easter Sunday morning. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and as we sing together. You'll take a minute following the benediction and the choral response to turn and greet one another, meet family members. I see we have family members in town today, so good to see all of you. Greet one another, offer a word of encouragement as we go out from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, the day that you've given us, the day, Father, to celebrate who you are. Father, we recognize that every gift, every good and perfect gift comes from you. We recognize that every day is a gift from you. And so we embrace today and pray that we would be faithful. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.